Talent and toughness is what this league is all about. All the great players and players that had a career in this league have all had a mental toughness. Ever since I saw Draymond Green play at Michigan State, he consistently rebounded the basketball. And those things translate from one level to the next. So I look for talent, I recruit toughness, and that's what I do. That fits my personality because those type of players have an effect on the bottom line in this league.
Rick Bucher.
As an NBA analyst, I have purposely set myself up so that I don't have to do mock drafts because I just don't watch enough college basketball, and I know how deceiving the tournament in particular can be because it's so different from the rest of the year. So I always wait until I see guys in summer league and then I determine what I think they're going to be as pros.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher.
Welcome to the 34th edition of the BJ and Bucher podcast, Four Quarters of Madness. I'm Rick Bucher. He's BJ Armstrong. Along for the ride, our crack producer is not a producer who does crack. He is a crack producer. That's Shane.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where you're going with right now, Rick.
I'm wondering, too.
Okay. He's the crack producer. Okay. All right.
Well, you guys got me in a mood this morning.
Hey, I hope it ain't in a mood to do crack.
Actually, I've been feeling a little under the weather. I could use something that would help me out.
See, you are under the weather, Rick Bucher.
Yes. Anyway, I'm coming out of it, and I'm coming out of it because we have a great show to do for you today. We have in the fourth quarter joining us the one and only center for the Memphis Grizzlies, Mark Gasol. We'll get into all sorts of things, having one of his best seasons maybe ever coming back from injury. So we'll discuss all of that with him. But let's move on, BJ, to the matters at hand. And beginning in the first quarter, as we go around the league and hit the news, Joakim Noah found suspended for 20 games for the use of a performance-enhancing drug. And as best I can tell, it was almost like a scientific formula in the release. They were very specific, unusually specific by the league about the substance that he was taking. And it's some sort of steroid. And that's where we begin. I just wonder, BJ, and I, the first thing I thought of in doing the podcast and talking about this is that I know that from your time playing, it was one of my first discoveries when we got to know each other, how diligent and exact you were in knowing about everything that went into your body. And I remember the conversation we had one time. You talked about, like, you physically could feel like when you were a little low on iron, when you were a little low on vitamin C, you were that in tune with your body. And I would imagine most pro athletes are, especially, I mean, maybe not everyone, but mm-hmm. a guy like Joakim Noah strikes me as a guy who is also very disciplined about his conditioning and everything else. So I ask you, when you heard that Joakim, of all people, was popped for a performance-enhancing substance, what was your first thought?
Well, my first thought was, okay, what was he taking? And was this something new that he wasn't aware of? And I don't think he would do anything to jeopardize his status of playing in the NBA or hurt himself in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, there are a lot of substances now that are illegal that weren't just a year or two ago with the new collective bargaining agreement and all of the things that you have. So, you know, now you're starting to see guys with, you know, there are certain things in cough medicine and things you can buy over the counter that aren't legal, and you just kind of learn what not to put in your body. You know, I think this could have easily been avoided just by asking the trainer or asking the doctor, can we, you know, take this? So I don't know specifically what he was or what he was taking, but it's very unfortunate now that he has to miss, I believe it's 20 games.
Yes.
Without pay, which is a huge mistake for him.
Yeah. The substance is identified as a selective androgen receptor modulator. It sounds like something out of Star Wars. LGD-4033, a testosterone booster. The dude was caught taking some C-3PO, it sounds like, which exactly carries similar properties to anabolic agents, according to the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency's reports. I wonder, you mentioned that it would have been easy to just check it out with the trainer, with the team's athletic trainer. Are there teams in the league, from your experience, that are more in tune, like their athletic trainers or the interaction between players and the training staff is more advanced, or are there training staffs essentially that are more in tune with their players and players are more comfortable talking to them as opposed to other ones?
You know, it's just, this could have been a substance that he's been taking for years, and suddenly, you know, this year, it's been added to the list of things not to take. So I always refer every client to, if you have any doubt or any questions or anything that you're taking, run it over. Just, you know, it's a quick phone call. Run it over with your trainer. Run it over with the team doctor. They're always around to help you answer those questions. So things like this could have easily been avoided. And this is something he's been taking all along that was fine. But again, these substance abuse programs and drug policy programs are always changing. Things are always getting added to it. I think this is something that he could have just, you know, because this could have been avoided easily just by asking a simple question. Is this okay or not?
I have to be honest with you. The first time I read this news release, I didn't read androgen. I read estrogen. And I'm thinking, damn, what is Joakim up to? But enough on that.
It's been a tough week for you, Rick.
Yeah,
this has been a real tough.
No kidding. So let's go. You know who it hasn't been a tough week for? That would be one, Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. Scored 70 points against the Boston Celtics. 20 years of age, he becomes the youngest player in NBA history to score 70 or more points, joining Will Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, David Robinson, Elgin Baylor, and David Thompson. Now, this is my one issue, and obviously I'm not alone when it comes to this, is the Phoenix Suns celebrated this team-wide fashion. They lost. They lost the game, 130 to 120. Devin Booker scored 70 points in a game, and his team lost. And his team also didn't care. So I ask you.
Have you seen their record this year?
I have.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. Okay. Continue, Mr. Buker.
I get where you're going. That anything that is a happy occasion should be celebrated because they've had few and far between. That said, if you really are all about losing bothers us and we want to win, first of all, let's put aside the team. It's extraordinary to me that a guy can score 70 points and his team loses. What the hell does that say? I mean, we mentioned all these other guys, Wilt, Kobe, David, Elgin, David Thompson. To my knowledge, none of them did what they did in a losing cause. That's what's most amazing. I wouldn't have been, if I was in the Suns locker room, I'd like to think that I wouldn't have been celebrating. I would have been investigating. How the hell did we lose this game?
Are you done? I'm listening.
not by half measure am I done, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to join the conversation.
Well, I don't think they were celebrating. I think they were just acknowledging.
They were celebrating. They were overjoyed.
They was on Instagram.
Devin Booker scored 70. He's the man. We suck, but he's the man.
I'm going to say this, okay, before I get to the outcome of the game. I don't care what league this man is playing in. CYO, high school, college, rec league.
Yeah.
70 points in a game is going to grab my
It's extraordinary.
It's
amazing.
It's going to grab my attention. Now,
no doubt.
Okay. Maybe in the 80s and the 90s, we would have been a little bit more politically savvy. We wouldn't have said much in the locker room. But as soon as we got
back
to...
Wait a minute. Before we... but here's the thing. You're always telling me about how today's players are smarter than the players back in the day.
Right, right.
Here's where I'm going with this. We didn't have this media availability to us that they have today. We didn't have this. The things that we did were, you know, we probably would have did the same thing. I remember being in the locker room when a teammate of mine had 69 in a game.
Uh-huh.
I remember the other players on the other team and the coaches were coming in our locker room to get something signed. before the 10 minutes were up when the media could actually enter into the locker room.
But y'all didn't lose.
That other team won, though, right?
No, that other team lost.
Okay.
The coach were the coaches. I'm not going to even say if it was a head coach because you got. I'm just saying there were coaches who came in our locker
plural,
room. Executives.
Plural.
Coaches.
Plural. And players came in our locker room. Maybe they took quick showers. I don't know. To get something signed, which without question would have been up on some type of social media platform. Now,
right.
When you see a man score 70 points, I don't care if he win, lose, or draw. Just like when I saw Kobe scoring those 81 points, I stopped watching the score. I knew I was witnessing something I hadn't seen. For me, when I see something I haven't seen, like, oh, wow, let me stop watching the game because I have to watch the game in a different box now. The box is different. We saw a man score 51 points in the second half. Now, I don't know who's talking about winning and losing at that point. I'm going to watch this man score 50 points in a half because I know that's not too often that I'm going to go to an NBA game in Boston, of all places.
Right.
They've seen a lot of basketball.
Right.
Just acknowledge what was done and then say, you know what? Yeah, these are kids. These are kids.
Yeah.
And we have to, like, okay, say what you want. Yeah, he lost the game. They probably shouldn't have taken the photo.
But this being the case, though, B, then we need to stop. NBA players need to stop with all this bashing the AAU then. Because this is where a lot of this comes from.
I'm not bashing the AAU.
First of all, Kobe, LeBron, dudes that played in AAU bash AAU. But this is where this mentality comes from. This mentality comes from that type of environment. And look, it comes from the hood. Real talk. We care more about getting buckets, you know, and I was amazed by that 70 points. I thought it was awesome. But what blew me away was that they were on Instagram celebrating. I was like, hold on a second, but they lost by 10 points. Like, they should be celebrating his individual accomplishment, but the coaches should be like, fellas, let's pull this back in. Because I saw Leandro Barbosa, who's a veteran, and he was celebrating like he was 15 years old. And I'm like,
hey,
you would think as a veteran, he would maybe step in and say, okay, fellas, this is great. Devin, congratulations. This is awesome. But we lost. We lost.
These young kids today, this is a different group. This is a different group. This is a different era. This is a different time.
See,
this is a different day.
I get that.
And we got to advance and move with it.
We can take the best of what we get going forward, and we can put the rest behind.
Here's what I'm saying. Here are all these people who are bashing AAU. I don't know who these people are.
LeBron and Kobe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, come on, man. I'll raise my hand.
Here's what I say to all the people that are bashing AAU basketball. Let's acknowledge that the NBA is not a league that develops young people. And I saw Kobe Bryant as a young kid. Okay, 20 years in the league. Yeah, okay, he's matured. I saw him as a 20-year-old kid doing rap albums.
Right.
It was no different.
Yeah.
I saw Kevin Garnett when he came in this league. I saw Jermaine O'Neal and LeBron James and all
those
things.
Those guys grew up in the league.
Okay, these guys are growing up in the league.
So how can you say that the NBA doesn't develop players if guys change over the course, like Kobe doing the certain things early and not late?
Because this league now, or there were very few that were coming into the league that age. Now this league, every year you're getting
19-year-olds, 18-year-olds.
19, 20-year-old kids coming to the league.
Yeah.
Every year. Now, Kobe Bryant was just one guy that was coming in.
Well, you had a healthy number of one and done.
You had a lot of guys that didn't even go to college. Yeah, they came straight in.
Yeah.
But the majority
of them were not a lot of guys.
You didn't have a lot of guys. Okay, maybe two or three.
All right, but I don't know that there's this like huge difference in the number of young guys coming in distinctly.
No,
like today
no
compared to then. And you do have the 1 year moratorium. Guys gotta wait to get in.
But they're young. It's a young team.
They have the youngest starting lineup ever.
My son could play on that team.
Right.
Right in with that group. They're like 18, 19 years old.
Devin Booker,
he's like 20 years old.
20.
Okay, so let me ask you this, BJ. So Oscar is on this team, and his teammates score 70 and they lose, and he's celebrating. Dad, woohoo! Dad, did you see We got our ass kicked, but Devin scored 70. What would B.J. Armstrong, the father, say to Oscar?
Okay, and it's,
yeah, we want to hear that,
Oscar
BJ.
And I were together. This is how I found out about Devin Booker.
Right.
We were at dinner. Mm-hmm. He's looking at his phone as usual. We're with the family, da-da-da-da-da-da. Put your phone down. Dad, you got to see this. You got to see this one. He shows me on Instagram all 70 points of Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. Wow. Being the old man, I go, but who won the game? He was like, who cares who won the game? Dad, he just scored 70 points in the game.
See, I'll be honest with you.
And that's why the All-Star game sucks so bad.
So I had the same conversation. In fact, my son told me first about Devin Booker. And you know what his response was? Because he saw the photo, he goes, Dad, how come they're celebrating? They lost. Like, who cares? Who cares how many points you get? You lost. And I thought, I said to him, I said, Matt, never lose that attitude.
You said a teammate of yours scored 69 points. Other teams and coaches were coming to your locker room to get autographs and whatnot, but y'all still won. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's different when do you honestly think the Boston Celtics and them was coming over to get Devin Booker's autograph? Nah, they weren't coming over there.
In fact, they were mad.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is the difference in what you in the 69 points that your teammate scored as opposed to what Devin Booker just did. Number one, of course, the age difference. What was Michael? What, he was like 28 years old or something like that? Because I know Kobe was like in his late 20s when he did what he did.
He might, late 20s, maybe early 30s.
So it could be, like you were saying, with these kids, they're just kids, you know? So they don't, with them having the youngest starting lineup in the league, you know, this could be a big part of the reason that they were on Instagram and Snapchat and whatnot celebrating. But at the same time, who leads them back to the mindset that, hey, look, you still need to focus on trying to win games because ultimately, you know, the team has to win games.
And I hear you guys. I hear what you're saying. And where I'm at in my life, I agree with what you guys are saying. But being around these kids, that's not how these kids think. What I admire about what was done there in Phoenix, yes, they did lose the game. Here is a young group of guys. Most of the teams have already melded in.
Yeah, for sure.
You and I are very aware because we've both been in. I've been in that locker room when teams have melded in. You've covered teams that have melded in, and you know exactly what I'm saying here. The fact that Coach Watson got this team interested in playing hard on the road this late in the season with 20-year-olds, my hat goes off to him. Hmm. And the fact that he has these kids and encouraging them to go out there and find out who they are. They're still young kids. And I'm not arguing anything you guys are saying. And you got a right to do that. But I know how difficult it is to have young players play this hard this late in the season.
I appreciate that. My only thing is, and you make a great point, and you point out some very valid things. And they're not things that I thought of initially. I would still prefer that they celebrate that and they have that feeling inside the team.
Agreed.
And they don't advertise. There's no need to advertise.
That was my biggest thing. Don't advertise it.
Because people aren't going to understand. They don't. And there's, what's the value of that? There is no value in that.
Agreed. But some things, Rick, when we look back on our youth, we got to all say, maybe not you, but I'm going to say it. There's some things that I say, why did I actually do that?
Yeah.
Right.
Why did I wear that?
Why did I say that? Yeah, yeah.
My list is crazy.
My list is one very of those long. Moments. Yes.
But I'm going to say this. The fact that this young man came on the road and gave me a 70-point effort, that's something for me to be excited about as an organization and build around that. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get it. But I'm going to try not to be the grumpy old man. I'm going to advance with this new generation because right now, you know, they do mumble rap. I don't understand mumble rap.
Don't even do that. Don't even get in that conversation, please.
But Rick, I'm going to respect it because it's, you know, that's what the new generation is.
I ain't respecting it. I can understand it, but I don't respect it.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime. Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
It's time now for the halftime entertainment. One of my favorites, The Roots, What They Do. Enjoy it, and we'll be back for the third quarter.
generation. Fast paced nation, world population confront their frustration. The principles of true hip hop have been forsaken. It's all contractual and about money making. Pretend to be cats, don't seem to know their limitation. Exact replication and false representation. You wanna be a man, then stand your own. To MC requires skills, I demand some shown. I let the frauds keep fronting and roam like a cellular phone far from home, giving crowds what they wanting. Official hip hop consumption, the fifth thumping, keeping your party jumping with an original something. Yo, I dedicate this to the one dimension now, no imagination, excuse for perpetration. My man came over and said, "Yo, we thought we heard you. Joke's on you, you heard a biting. True, but I'm and hatred. The game is ill-natured, it's nothing sacred. And yo, it's funny what I see some rap do to make it. A few will blow up or go as far as they can take it. My 9 to 5 is just to hit you, get the party live. I'm Black Thought, used to rap for sport. Now the rhyme saying rent, pay, and life support. I take it very seriously within this industry. It's various crews that try to touch me, but I come with the beautiful things, and I bless the track plushly. Around the world, crowds love me from doing tours. Recipient of applause from all of you and yours. Creator of original sounds that's in the stores you take home to absorb and sweat it out your pores. Now who can stop the music running through these veins? Infinitely go against the grain. That's why my motto is to
never do. All right, it's that time. Favorite for our listeners, not so much for BJ and myself, because we are the gluttons for punishment when it comes to the third quarter trivia challenge. All right, I think I'm the defending champion, am I not right now? It's hard for me to tell when the gifts don't go out celebrating my victories, but I'll leave that alone for now. This trivia challenge is being titled "Who's on Third?" BJ, behind Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain, respectively, I am third in line on the NBA's career regular season points per game average list. Who am I? Kevin Durant, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, or LeBron James?
Woo! Read that again, Rick. That's a good one.
This is your third. I am third in line on the NBA's career regular season points per game average list. Basically, I am my scoring average for my career, I am third behind Jordan and Chamberlain. And I am third. And am I Kevin Durant? Am I Jerry West? Am I Elgin Baylor? Or am I LeBron James?
You know what? I'm just going to say, I'm going to stick with my youthful way of thinking today. I'm going to go with Kevin Durant. Elgin Baylor?
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you when we're done. I'm not going to give away my approach to this.
I knew it wasn't Jerry and it wasn't LeBron.
You're not.
Way to go, Shane. You don't want no problems right now with me, so I ain't going to mess with you. All right, here we go. Yeah. You have to shoot a lot of threes to be on this list, but I hold the number three spot for most three-pointers attempted per game in the regular season. For my career thus far, A, Curry, B, Damian Lillard, 3, Klay Thompson, D, Robert Covington.
Oh my God. So this is career three-pointers attempted?
I hold the number three spot for most three-pointers attempted per game in the regular season for my career thus far. Ooh, this is tricky. The number three spot for most three-pointers attempted per game in the regular season for my career thus far.
See?
Hey, you know, I just pulled your head down.
Damn you, Shane, with that Robert Covington.
Man, you got this guy so stressed out, Shane. It's crazy. Look at this. I mean, look at this.
I know, because I'm not playing. I'm not against you, BJ. I'm playing against Shane here. I'm trying to get into the mind of Shane Freeman, our producer. So it's the options are Klay. It's not Steph. Steph, Clay,
Damian Lillard,
Covington, and Lillard. Mm-hmm. And it's third per game. Third. I'm going to go Damian Lillard.
That would be incorrect. It is Clay Thompson.
That was my other choice. Damn it.
Okay.
Damn it. So where are does it list where they are? Like where they are?
Steph is number one. Damian Lillard is number two. Klay Thompson is number three, with an average of taking 6.8 three-pointers per game during the regular season over the course of his career.
I knew it was one. I knew it was Klay or Damian because I knew Steph led the charge. All right. So it's still 0-0. Decision-making is everything when you're the man who controls the rock. Due to my carelessness with the ball, I am the NBA's number three all-time regular season leader for career turnovers per game. Who am I? Magic Johnson, John Wall, Pete Maravich, or Isaiah Thomas? And that would be...
I'm going to say Magic. I'm just going to go with Magic because he's just going to go with Magic.
That would be incorrect. He's number two.
Oh, gosh.
Number three is John Wall, who has a career average of 3.8 regular season turnovers per game. I would not have guessed John Wall. Maybe by deduction, maybe by the process of elimination.
Okay.
But, all right.
All right, here we go.
Here's my chance to defend my crown and steal another victory.
Behind Steph Curry and Steve Nash, I hold the NBA's regular season career free throw percentage per game. Who am I? A, Rick Barry. B, Ray Allen. C, Mark Price. D, Peja Stojakovic.
All right, so read the first part of it again. I was waiting to hear a name that I did not hear.
Regular season career throw percentage per game.
Yeah.
Behind Steph Curry and Steve Nash.
Steph Curry and Steve Nash. Okay. So it's Ray Allen, Peja, Rick Barry, or Mark Price. I'm going to say Mark Price.
That would be correct.
Yeah!
How did you get that?
You know what? First of all, Mark Price played for the Warriors at a time, and I actually went to his. He had like a shooting academy down in Atlanta that I went out to once upon a time. Now, I wasn't there long enough for it to do anything for me, and it was too late in my measly basketball career, as BJ will attest. I'll never forget. We played pickup one time in Chicago. BJ invited me to tell you a little something about BJ. So BJ invites me to go work out with him. He's getting ready for the season, right? So he goes and does his workout thing, and then I go and do mine. And I think we're going to, you know, we'll play a little pickup later. I go and do mine, and then BJ invites me to do his as well. So I end up doing my workout, then I join his workout. And now we're going to scrimmage on top of it. Now he's a pro athlete. I was keeping in shape. I wasn't ready for any of that. But BJ also knows me. I'm never going to say no. I always think I'm better than I am. So, dude, you think I can't work out with you? Screw you. I can do this. I got sick immediately after. Like I was sick for 3 days. But. When we scrimmaged, I was, magically enough, I thought it was because I was good. I seemed to be open all the time.
Yeah.
That was because they were going to let me shoot. We came down on a break, and I pulled up, and I heard BJ under his breath, or maybe not so under his breath, he goes, "You ain't going to hit that in a month or something." And he was correct. So anyway, that's a little slice. I have never forgotten that. Never. I am to this day, I'm in my backyard working on my jump shot. One of these days I'm going to have the jump shot that I've always dreamed of having. But I don't, it's getting close. It's getting much better. But it's I don't have it yet.
I can't say anything on that story. But Rick, you know what? Thank you for being a good sport, though. I mean, I remember that. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to see when you were going to quit, and you never did quit. So that's why I love
you,
Rick.
I'm an
idiot. You
know, like, I'm an idiot. Just, I'm a glutton.
Rick,
man.
You need anything to drink? No, I'm glutton. Good. You know what I mean? You need anything to drink? I'm good.
All right. But that's enough of the third quarter. Now entering the fourth. And here is our guest for the day, center of the Memphis Grizzlies, Marc Gasol. It's really hard to track him down, but we were able to do so for the podcast. This is about coming back from his injury and having maybe the best year of his career, along with, even as Pau Gasol, his brother, is beginning to wind up his career, just what it's like, what it means to been able to play in the NBA at the highest level and look across the way. And not only are you achieving that, but you have a brother doing the same thing. We talked about all that and more with Marc Gasol.
Marc, thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So I have to ask, you come off of foot injury,
mm-hmm.
and you're coming into a new system,
mm-hmm.
and you have what I look at as possibly your greatest season that you've ever had. I don't know if you agree with that, but if it's even just one of, how have you managed to do what you're doing, considering mm-hmm. all of that?
I don't measure my success or how good my seasons are by my numbers. By any means, I always measure my impact in the game by the team and how the team looks, how the team feels, and by a record. That's how I measure, you know, my impact in the game. If I'm out there and I'm having good numbers, but my team doesn't benefit from them, it's just useless.
Sure.
It's not good enough. So it's been a good bounce back season from a heart injury that supposedly you're not supposed to come back as soon and as good and as healthy as I have, but I went into that process with that mindset of just taking it day by day and doing everything in my hand and in my control to make sure that there was a successful process.
You've added the three-point shot to your game. I think that's been part of the new system that you guys are playing. I imagine you didn't get a whole lot of time to shoot it because you were recovering from the injury. How is it that you've been able to shoot it as well as you have?
I think the most important part was my teammates trusting me with it and seeing the benefits for them. Once I spaced like that and teams started to change your defensive schemes and bringing the five out or switching the one with me and when I'm pop and leaving the five with Mike and not able to rotate like they normally would,
mm-hmm.
The team and especially Mike directly benefits from that, and that's what we're looking for.
Right. For any big, it's never comfortable to be spending that much time that far away from the basket. How have you gotten over that?
It's just the way our team is built and what we need right now in order to be a consistent team. I think that's the way we want things to be done, and we all into that right now. So it's important for us to try to keep growing out of it and keep growing into it. And becoming better at it. I think there's things that we do well, but teams start to figure out some of the things that we do, and we we gotta add more layers of difficulty to our offense.
Is that why maybe you guys have been up and down this year? Because I look at mm-hmm. I look at what you have and mm-hmm. what you're capable of, and if you can control tempo, mm-hmm. I think you're probably the best shot. Steve Smith and I both said it on NBA TV,
mm-hmm.
the best shot at being able to knock off that team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of controlling tempo.
Correct.
But you guys have, I keep waiting for you guys to sort of hit a rhythm and a consistency.
I think we do too. We do hoping for that and working towards that goal is not always as easy. I think we all have growing pains as a team and understanding what we're trying to accomplish and how we're trying to accomplish and guys finding their role and how to grow in that role and how to make each other better. That's, mm-hmm. I think that's been probably the toughest part. You know, we all can have, you know, good nights, but if we don't impact another, you know, another guy's night in a positive way, it's just not good enough.
Sure.
I think, you know, we have to keep doing that. If, you know, if you have a good feeling that night and I can make my wings have an even better night, that makes my night easier.
Sure.
And better.
Sure.
And increase our chance to win, which, you know, without a doubt, that should be the only goal.
Right. Just looking at you, you look svelte. You look slim.
Yeah.
How much slimmer are you? And is that a result of the pace, the increased pace, or the position, or the foot, or what is it?
It's always a combination of things. As you get older, you know, you want to keep as much weight off as you can. Obviously, the foot had a lot to do with it. Me maturing and knowing how everything affects my body too. And, you know, that it's a combination of things that really, you know, makes you keep the weight off.
So tell me, give me an example of what the diet was when you were in high school.
Not good. So imagine every mistake and every bad thing you can eat, I ate it, and probably at the same time.
Right.
So you know, just think about what, you know, anything bad, I ate it.
Now, the thing is, though, you were like parents, doctors, right?
Yeah. I mean, my mom was a doctor, my dad was a nurse administrator. Yeah.
Okay, so you knew the health benefits. I mean, it wasn't like you were coming from a place that you weren't.
Correct.
So
I didn't come from a third world country or anything like that. But we didn't have the type of access to the fast food like here, like in high school. And I came from a pretty strict regimen in FC Barcelona, where, you know, it's pretty much you treat it like a professional athlete. All of a sudden you go into high school, a small high school in Memphis, Lausanne, where, you know, everything is a lot looser. You know, you don't really have weights checking in or anything like that. You have all that freedom. And I also worked as a referee, so I had some change in my pocket. So every dollar I made went into fast food.
And what was your go-to? What was the thing?
I don't know. I don't know. A lot of bad stuff. I don't want to. You know, it didn't.
You don't have to advertise.
I'm not advertising. Trust me. I don't want to advertise against it either.
Right.
We have to make our own choices, and actually, I'm happy that I went through that, because now I can really talk about it, and
sure.
I can you know, motivate and show kids that you know, even if you're not the healthiest kid, and maybe if everybody, you know, looks at you a certain way and tells you that you cannot play basketball at a certain level, if you're really dedicated and you're lucky and you have the people around you that really is going to support you and treat you.
Yeah.
As a good athlete, you can become, you know, whatever you want to become.
Yeah.
So if you have that power to inspire kids, you really got to use it. And so for me, to be able to go through that and be here today, you know, it allows me to try to inspire any other kid.
I know you've been asked 1,000 times, I'm just curious, when I think about, and it's maybe because my kids are starting to play and they're very close in age.
Okay.
And so I imagine them both being able to play at the highest level together, and what that would be like for their relationship and their experience. And so every time I see you, and even as the years go by and all the experiences that you had, but I would think that as you get older, it gets richer, that maybe you become to understand even how rare and special it is that you and Pal get to do this thing together.
Correct. It's like kind of a, you know, when you're younger, you're kind of in a highway and you don't look left or right. You just go as fast as you can. And I think now as you get older, you know, you kind of looking out of the window, you know, you're up top, you kind of look and enjoying the view a little more. I think that's what, for me, as my personal experience with Pal, what it's been like. And now that, you know, that I get to, he's in the same conference, even in the same division, I get to see him a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, we went in San Antonio a few days ago, and he's been home and a week after my son was born, so he was able to see his new nephew and play with him. And
yeah.
I don't know, it's just a really unique situation that we are very fortunate to be honest. And now we are enjoying that, you know, the years that we have left, competing against each other, and to be honest, also competing with each other once we go, you know, in the national team. And we have you know, we're very ambitious always, and we both know that if we're able to, and we're both healthy, we want to compete again together.
Last thing before I let you go, because you I went to the assumption that this was one of your best seasons. Mm-hmm. And you seem to think maybe not, in part because of how the team is doing.
Always.
So how would you rate this season for you, and what would make it one of your best ones?
You know, it always measures. I think great always are done at the end. I'm never satisfied with anything I do. I always want more. This it's hard for me to be happy with my work. I'm very critical of my game, and I always expect more. And so, yeah, we do these things great, but there's more. And I know it. Sometimes I'm gonna be tired of my teammates because you know I'm always pushing for more. I'm never really happy. So, you know, we'll see how the season ends and how we improve. We gotta take you know 2 or 3 steps. First consistency and discipline goes for us to really you know be able to not only compete with, because I know we can compete with any team in the league, we've proven that, we know that, we feel that way, but to feel that you can compete and beat a team 4 times in 3 different rounds, you know, right. that would be the main goal.
Mark, always loved your game. I always consider you one of the most thoughtful players in the league. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation. As always, if you're listening on iTunes, be sure to subscribe to the show, rate, and leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear what you have to think. We have a brand new website, bjandbucher.com. You can check out the podcast along with a lot of material, written material there as well about things going on around the league. And as always, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at bjandbucher. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll come back at you again next week.